Brisbane Wakes Up with Steph, Abby and Matt on B105.
G'day, guys. You've downloaded today's podcast.
Hey. Good show.
I was just going to go to the vending machine. I'm in that vending machine mood.
You going to get shout us all? What are you going to get us?
I will shout you today. What would you like? I'll get you whatever you want, hun.
What's in there? I haven't looked in the vending machine in a long time.
How many are fasting? You're not still fasting?
I know. But you know, when the weather's like this, it's rainy today.
That's what I was thinking. I opened a bottle of red last night. Mm. And normally we don't drink during the week.
How lovely.
A Max. My parents were coming over and they said, why don't you go down and get a bottle of wine for us? Well, they didn't say it, but they said it with their eyes.
I could really see it. Yeah. I was actually going to bring you in some Silverside today because I cooked one up yesterday.
Lovely.
And you said that you didn't like it anymore. Well,
do you want to call me from the vending machine?
No, just go. It's only five metres away.
Call me. What do you want, bro? Come on, my chow.
How nice is it when it's I'll ring you now. When it's just cool, the rain's dropping, not heavy, just lightly. You open up a bottle of red. I love drinking red around the fire. Right. Ringing it now.
Yeah. It took 8 hours in the slow cooker, but it was worth it.
Yeah, if there's some left over, I'd love to try it. Okay. If you're Silverside, maybe my convincer. Hi. Here's Abby. She's coming to us live from the Vendo.
Well, we've been told not to ask any personal questions.
So you've got pods, you've got Snickers pods if you want to be all la-di-da.
Yeah.
You got Maltesers, you got original chunky chocolate chunk cookie. Or you can get a muscle meal if you want to get a big protein cookie. Honey soy chips are good.
Or the veggie chips are good. I saw they brought out dark Maltesers. Now that's right up my alley.
Oh, dark chocolate.
Yeah.
There are Maltesers here, but they're not dark.
I had Maltesers a couple of days ago. I think I want chips. I think something chippy.
Oops.
What, there's the honey soy chicken?
Is there anything else?
Yeah, well, there's salt and pepper or the sea salt or there's Twisties.
Twisties!
Really?
Yes. Okay. Twisties.
What do you want, Stavos?
One of the great chips. I'm good. No, I get
some. You something. Want anything? No, shall we? What do you want?
No, I'm good.
Think of it like tappers. We'll all just share.
Do you like tappers?
Do you want the veggie chips? Why don't you get the veggie chips?
I'm good,
I'll get you some veggie chips. I know you want the veggie chips, mate. I'll get you some.
He does. I can see it in his face. He's saying he doesn't. But if you don't eat now, don't go asking for anything before bed because this is it. We've already...
It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, listen, once you brush your teeth, that's that.
Yeah, then I won't brush my teeth then.
Oh, fine. What are you getting for yourself?
Well, I'm getting my usual crap stuff that I shouldn't.
What, can of Red Bull?
Red Bull and my protein thing. All right, I'm coming back.
All right, here we go. We can see her outside the...
Party!
I wonder if the people at Macca's drive-thru love that.
Oh, I didn't shout the girls. What do you want? It's my shout from vending machine.
It's gripping.
Right, what do you want? Do you want to go back?
Producers.
Give them the veggie chips.
Oh, she's not happy. Tell me what you want. Do you want chips? I got you some veggie chips. You're annoying. I didn't get them.
Oh, Twisties.
Do you want your chips?
No, thank you.
All right.
And
she's going back out.
Here's the podcast, everybody.
No, I really feel like people are enjoying us. It's like, you know what? They're having morning tea with us. You guys are having morning tea with us. Here we go.
Oh, you should have got the veggie chips, man. They were good.
Oh, God, I love Twisties.
Do you? We don't get Twisties anymore.
They're really...
gluten and we're celiac.
I just thought they were odd-shaped cheesels.
Sorry for not thinking of you guys. I forgot about it. It was my round. Sorry.
I'll tell you what. We'll let you shout us next round. There we go. There's a Red Bull. Is there nothing more annoying when you buy a round and you come back with said round and someone new has just turned up at the pub?
Yes, and then like, you feel bad so you do it. Or I hate it when you get a whole round, right? And then someone goes, anyway, I've got to get going. I'm driving. You're like, it's your round?
Yeah.
And so then you do the one round and then they go.
Oh, so they have a beer. They have their beer and then bail.
Like, you still have to, yeah.
Nah, you still got to buy everyone. You got to shout before you go. Well, thank you very much. Tomorrow, join us at the start of the podcast to find out what Maddie will shout from the vending machine. All right, here's today's podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You guys done your parent-teacher interviews this round or are they upcoming?
On Monday.
You got one on Monday?
I got two on Monday, yes. So back to back.
How are you feeling about it? Some people
get nervous. What are you saying about her kids?
No, yeah. Some people get nervous. Some people don't want to go.
I don't get nervous. I don't care anymore.
Some, yeah.
It's not a reflection of me.
Some people just get nervous talking to a teacher.
Oh, no, no, no. The teachers are nice. I did yesterday at school because the principal was walking up.
Mm.
And you know when you're like, principal, principal, and you realise, yeah, I'm not doing anything wrong. But
there's one of two things there. They're either coming up to tell you something bad about your kid, or they're going to ask you to volunteer for something. And the volunteer one is worse. Because I would much prefer that my kid gets detention than me have to turn up and read a book with some random kid.
Adult detention.
Yeah.
I did make the first mistake I made was going in a singlet that had the Golden Girls on there with sunglasses and it said Thug Life underneath. But then I thought, you know, it's not about me. It's about Rory. But I had to go for Rory's last week and she's doing all right. She's in grade three. She's getting older. But the teacher showed me some of her, you know what they do, like they showed the maths from the start of the semester and then here's her maths now. And this is how far she's come, and she's doing around, she's doing good there. And then she showed me her creative writing. And every Friday night, we have family movie night, and we all sit down and we watch a movie. And we've done it, taken it in turns to pick what films we watch. So she's been exposed to such classics as all the Star Wars movies.
She's been exposed to such classics.
Yeah, that's right.
We're educating her yes, all the right way.
I am.
So she goes into the world and knows about spaceships.
Couldn't have put it better myself. Couldn't have put it better
she
myself.
She gave them to Spaceballs next.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. She would love that when they catch their stunt doubles. Classic. She loves all the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Loves all the Star Wars. And I'm always very careful to say, you know, if you don't enjoy it, we can turn it off and watch
Daddy will cry,
Moana.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We're halfway through the Indiana Jones movies. I'm thinking about pretending the Crystal Skull doesn't exist because it's awful. So I'm trying to get it around to just that there's only three.
Maddie's never seen them.
Never watched any Indian
movies. No, of course he hasn't.
No.
He hasn't been exposed to the right movies. No.
See, if this was my son,
my uncultured.
Yeah, but you're disappointed in him in many ways.
Yeah.
Why just narrow it down to the movies?
That's true. But
look, you know what? One day I'll aspire to be as cool as you.
Yeah, well, and then, try harder.
Yeah.
The teacher's showing us her creative writing, and she goes, here's a story from the start of the semester, and you can see it's a bit of a jumble, and she's making narrative leaps that don't make much sense. And she goes, and here's one from this semester, and you can see it's a through narrative, and it's really very well done. And I read it, and I'm going through it, and I'm like, And I said to the teacher, this is really good, actually. It's a really good story. It was the plot of Temple of Doom.
Oh, right. What'd you talk like that for?
I didn't say it to the teacher.
Oh, good.
I'm saying it to you guys now.
Well, then the teacher obviously was not educated in that movie either.
Well,
really,
no, she did it in the right way. Where she changed the scene from a mine shaft to a theme park. So they got trapped on a roller coaster and they had to.
Oh, that's great. That would do well in uni because I plagiarised the whole way through and no one really got that. Yeah. So
did you?
Let's be honest.
It's different these days. They scan them with computers, but
it doesn't matter either. There's The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. It is exactly the same show, changed slightly. Mm. You know, you've got Love Island, you've got Big Brother. It's all the same crap. So they just change one slight element in it and everyone's like, oh, my God, brand new idea. You're a genius. We'll pay $10 million for
it. That would have been your creative writing. Here's Maddie's from the start of the semester. Here's it today. And he just said, they made the bisexual man reveal his bisexuality before
it's all the same stuff. You listen to David Guetta. Every song he releases is the same.
No.
But he just puts a new singer on it.
God.
That's what they do.
Do you reckon Rory's going to start screaming her name like Jason Derulo before she does a test?
Possibly. Who knows?
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Roll up, dads. It's time to play.
Dad. It's me, your dad.
Bingo.
Bingo.
A bit of a fun game because Stav always gets told, oh, that's such a dad joke. And he goes, oh, saying it before I was dad. And it's like, that doesn't make it right, mate.
Okay.
So should we call them lame jokes instead of dad jokes?
These aren't even dad jokes. These are just dad sayings.
Okay.
Dad sayings, I have to say it. And there's a few one on there, and I want you guys to say whether you've said it or not.
Okay.
Because Scotty's classic is always, if they're working hard or hardly working. Oh, he always asks that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so here we go.
That is a good one.
Okay.
When the cashier or at the checkout has issues scanning it, you say, guess it's free then.
Yeah, I have said that.
I've never said that.
You never said that?
I've never said that one.
Nah. No, that's because I would hate when I worked at Macca's and you would say, because you used to put the card in for the people, and you would say, what account?
Spendings.
Yeah, you don't need to put on the voice, guys.
But if you do it ironically, spendings. Like I do do it, like I know it's like, I'm
no, it
like,
doesn't matter, mate. Doesn't matter. I'm just asking. Free, then. I'm just asking if you've said it, okay?
All right.
When a kid hurts itself,
looks like we're going to have to amputate it.
No.
Yeah.
You said that one?
Yeah, I have.
All right, you okay. Haven't. When you go to a new city or country and you go, well, have a look at those petrol prices, hey?
Yep.
No.
You haven't? All right, so that's two for Maddie.
And the thing is, they do gallons as well in America. We're always
yeah,
like,
we know that you
why
have.
Is it that price? You know what I mean? I love saving
love
money on
petrol.
What about when someone takes too long in the bathroom and they walk out and you go, did you fall in?
I don't say that.
What do you say?
But I do say to Ethan, well, the bloody Pacific's empty now, so I don't know how we're all going to shower.
You don't need to do the voice.
No, I don't say that.
I need to do the voice.
I don't say that.
All right, when you're ready to leave the house, well, let's rock and roll, kids.
No, I say pitter-patter, let's get out of.
What?
Pitter-patter, let's get out of.
Yeah, he will give him that.
Why?
No, because that's
pretty lame.
Bad. I say, hurry up!
Lame.
Put your shoes
anyway,
on.
Yeah. Mm. Or what about when you see a neighbour, like they're washing their car or they're mowing the lawn, you go, can you do mine next, hey?
Yeah.
You do that?
Yeah.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, it's because you don't talk to your neighbours.
You gave me a point there and I said no.
Oh, sorry.
I'm
you're 2-2 for Steph, 3 for Maddie, all right?
I'm a shocker for that one. Or like, oh, when you can smell what they're cooking for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, you're cooking us dinner.
You don't need to do the voice. When you see traffic on the other side of the road and you go, God, glad we're not going that way.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
Look at those idiots. They're going to be there for hours.
When someone goes the wrong way. Nah, you're other left, mate.
Nah, I don't.
You have never said you're other left?
If it's,
other left?
If you go, take the left. No, you're other left.
Right, okay. Nah. You just don't do the voice. All right. No. You're in the lead at the moment.
Nick, our promotions guy, when we were packing down after camping on Friday, he's pissing himself laughing. I said, what? And he goes, I didn't even realise they did it. Xander was about to step in the big mud pile in the middle from the rain. And he said, that's the first time. I've known you for 4 years and the first time I've heard your dad voice. And it was because it wasn't just saying get out of it. It was the don't you even think about it, Xander.
All right. What about when something breaks and you go, oh, God, they don't make them like they used to?
No, I don't say that. You say that.
Yeah. They just don't make you probably just do it. Cars, they don't make them like they used to.
Nothing lasts these days.
Nothing's made to last. What about when you're carrying something heavy and okay, you guys can be honest with this. Mm. When you go to, no, it's all good. It's not heavy. It's just awkward.
Yep.
Yeah. You both said it when we were camping.
It's just awkward.
I mean, I could carry it. Don't worry about me. It's a bit awkward is all.
Because I'm strong.
I'm strong
and I could protect you all. Yeah, like, don't worry, I've got it, Dale. It's just if it wasn't such a weird shape, it wouldn't look like I was struggling.
Yeah.
You know, give us a hand with it anyway, Stab.
I'll help you out, mate, because it is. It looks cumbersome.
Yeah, whatever. When someone forgets something and they walk back in, you go, back already. How was it?
Yeah, I do say that.
How was your trip?
Quick trip.
When it starts raining and you go, oh, we needed this rain.
Well, you do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I'll say I've said it. I have said it. It went, you know, when we were in water restrictions and droughts.
Followed by,
said it.
Hope it's getting to the dams.
The last one. Mm. And can I just say, this is universal.
Right.
This has been compiled from people all over the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Before looking at
the next one? Oh, that's a big King Cog. We've all said that.
No, before you even
look
at the bill.
Watch out for lions, kids. Yes.
You go, what's the damage?
What was that for the...
Before looking at the bill.
Oh,
you go, what's the damage? What are we up for?
Yeah. Can I roll out one of my all-time favourites?
Yeah.
Were you born in a tent?
Were you
born in a tent?
When
were
someone
you?
Leaves the door open.
Yeah.
You weren't born in a tent. No, I know.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Forgive me for being so inquisitive.
Do you mind?
Do
you mind if I ask you a personal question?
This is when we get people on who've had different life situations and something unique about themselves, and we ask any question that you want to hear. Because you know when you kind of go, oh, I don't want to ask them, I don't want to offend people, which is the main thing you don't. But then you stop learning, I guess, when you're not asking the questions.
Well, I feel if we ignore the most obvious thing about people, then I think that can be offensive by not recognising that in them. And today's person has put their hand up and said, ask me anything at all. I will not be offended. Her name is Donna, and she is an ex-drug addict, and she joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good. Thanks for joining us. You're now in recovery, but can you take us through when your addiction first started?
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, I started really, you know, as a teenager, you know, just going out and partying with friends and, you know, it sort of took a hold of me, I guess. You know, I thought for many years that I was managing my addiction, but it slowly took everything from me.
So you just started with, I just take drugs when I party. Like it's just,
it's a fun thing. Absolutely. It was just sort of a fun weekend thing. And then along the line, it sort of turned to there was no stop.
Mm. So when did it start that you were taking every day?
Oh, look, that would have been probably my early 20s. You know, I was flying for airlines for a lot of years, you know, so, you know, in many ways the lifestyle promoted. You know, we were away from home and, you know, as soon as we'd finish our flight, we'd go out and party and, yeah, it sort of just spiralled out of control from there.
Now, it got pretty bad for you, didn't it? You lost your husband, your family, and somehow you ended up in an American jail. What happened there?
That's correct, yeah. I finally discovered crack cocaine and I just, once it got a hold of me, you know, I did lose my marriage. I lost custody of my son for some time and I found myself, I just could not stop. I was already in that cycle of addiction. You know, I would lose, there would be consequences to it. I'd be unemployed. My marriage was breaking down and I started getting arrested, drug offences.
What's an American prison like?
Oh, not good. And especially as an Australian, I really, it was something I think I'll never forget, but it was one of the many, you know, just that pain of going through addiction. It was not good at all.
You see a lot in the news, and then I don't know if you believe the TV shows and the documentaries, but you can still get drugs in prison, can't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, because I'd had years of addiction, I used to nominate to go into a substance abuse program within the prison just to ensure that level of safety. I guess it was a lot harder to get that in there, but we can become very, very resourceful when we need to, yes.
I guess it's the lying and, to be honest, to be able to service your addiction, you would have had to lie to so many people around you constantly, so you'd be used to that.
Absolutely. The lying, stealing, you know, manipulation, we can get very good. You know, you have to understand our brain is so focused on getting that next drug. Usually at the expense of our families, you know, many families, I guess they reach a point, it does impact on the family unit. You know, families will come home and find half their house gone. You know, and it is just, it's that obsession and compulsion to use. And once you are in that cycle, it's very hard to get off unless we get treatment for it.
Do you mind if I ask, how do you get the money? Because, you know, you hear of these people who are homeless and stuff and, you know, they say they've spent $80,000 on drugs this year. How would you get your hands on money when you were living on the street to buy crack?
Oh, I think it's a different world. You know, as I said, that level of, you know, theft, you know, being able to resell whatever you've stolen. You know, as I said, you do become very resourceful. You will do whatever it takes. You know, there is a level of, you will reach any limit just to get what you need.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Donna. You've put your hand up and you said, I cannot be offended, which is always brave of people to do this. So if you're listening to Donna's story right now, 13 10 60, what is the first question that comes to mind? We've got an Australian who, how long have you been clean for?
I've been clean for 2 years, 4 months. I did have a period of clean time and I did relapse. And that started just with pharmaceutical medication. And before I knew it, I was drinking and pharmaceutical medication. It had nothing to do with illicit drugs, but I still relapsed.
Yeah, right. Jane and Zilmi, you're on with Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask what made you turn to drugs, like in the first place?
Look, I think for myself, you know, it was just that, you know, it was through childhood trauma, you know, just that not able to emotionally regulate. And I also live with depression. So, you know, I was looking for any out to make me feel good, to change the way I was feeling.
Do you always consider yourself a drug addict? Like, do you have to wake up every day and say, I'm an addict, so that you're aware of it?
Absolutely. You know, I do work a 12-step program, and I have done treatment. So, you know, the tools they taught me is, you know, we will always be a recovering addict, and we make that commitment to recovery every day when we open our eyes.
Donna, do you think it goes into other aspects? Because, you know, we talk about, do people, is it genetic? Do you know, do people just have that prone to be an addict, and if it's not one thing, it's something else? Like, do you find that you took up smoking when you were trying to recover?
Yeah, I think it can come from a number of areas, you know, that socioeconomic, it can come from trauma, definitely genetic, you know, it can be a number of things that can trigger that initial, you know, just trying to release, find a release, and as I said, change the way I'm feeling.
Well, Donna,
you know, everyone has very different stories with it.
Yeah, she's a recovering drug addict. You can ask her absolutely anything. Emma, you're on. What's your question?
Hi, Donna.
Hello, Emma.
Do you mind if I ask, do you consider about your family when your family trying to help you to stop from drugs?
Look, to be honest, Emma, you know, when you are in that cycle of addiction, to be brutally honest, that's the last thing from our minds. You know, we are just so focused on drug seeking that we generally rebuff any attempt from our families to help. You know, as I said, it does really impact on our family unit. And while we, you know, when we come in recovery, we see the devastation. But while we're sitting in it, you know, the best thing I could say for families is, you know, the only thing to offer us is I will support you to get help. But do not give us finance. Do not rescue us. You know, it sometimes takes that hard stand and that firm line. Okay, I will offer to help you get into treatment. Otherwise, I cannot help you anymore.
Hugh from West End, you're on with Donna. What's your question?
Hi, Donna. I was wondering if you mind if I ask, what's the worst thing you've ever had to do to obtain drugs?
Yeah, look, I've lied, I've stolen, I've cheated, you know, I lost a marriage through addiction. You know, I've reached a lot of lengths in order to get drugs, you know, which usually ends up with, you know, other people being hurt, but more so myself. You know, that self-respect is completely taken away from you. So I've reached many lengths in order to obtain drugs.
And that's kind of the irony of it too, because you end up hating the drug but still not being able to stop yourself from taking it.
That's correct. You know, once you pick up that first one, it does trigger in us, you know, that it's that I need more. And it's just that vicious cycle, as I said, of addiction, where it's how do I get more? What do I need to do? So it's that constant chase to get our next drug.
We've got Anonymous on the line. What's your question for Donna?
Oh, yes, Donna, do you mind if I ask, how much would you estimate you spent in total on drugs over this whole time?
Oh, my God. Over a span of 25 years, I'd say I'd own probably 2 homes by now.
Wow. Bloody hell. In cash.
Wow. Oh, look, it you know, I used anything and everything that I could. You know, I engaged in a lot of illegal activity in order to get drugs. You know, I've hocked everything and anything precious to me. I sold drugs. I did whatever I had to do to
just
be able
that,
to
yeah, that hold on you. Yeah.
With that much money, you said it broke down a marriage. Do you mind if I ask, do you find yourself going down selling your body? Because that can
absolutely.
Be... Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, you know, by that stage, you're so emotionally broken. You know, there is no off limit.
Yeah.
All right, Cheyenne is on. Thank you so much for today, Donna. You're doing an amazing job. Cheyenne, what is your question for Donna?
Donna, do you mind if I ask how long it took for you to get your children back and what you had to do to get them back?
Yeah, so, you know, I did go through the system in America. So I, you know, I couldn't get him back for a long time because I would always test positive for drug use. I had to go through a long-term rehab, and even after I finished rehab, it was around hair follicle testing, you know, supervised visits with my son, being able to show for a long period of time that, you know, I was on the straight and narrow again in order to, you know, and that was the best thing. Like, I don't hold that against, you know, the authorities. You know, they were looking after my child because I was unable as a mother to look after him myself.
Well, Donna, you're making a big difference these days. You are actually working at a clinic as a drug and rehab support worker, and we've got all the information for that, haterclinic.queensland.com.au. We'll put a link up on our Facebook page too.
Yeah.
We really, really appreciate you and your honesty this morning. You've been amazing.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Alpha Bucks in the morning, 8 o'clock, 10 grand on the line. The 18th of March is when it will be. Your answers are...
Crayola?
Yeah.
What's Crayola? Like crayons?
Crayons. Name something you can draw with.
Yeah. Is it called Crayola?
Mm-hmm.
Crayola
that's the brand.
Oh, Crayola and Crown are two of the answers. Sorry.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Life insurance.
Life insurance.
Having life insurance means that if you were to die, your loved ones would receive money.
I'm a bundle of joy at the moment because I'm walking up to everyone just randomly going, here at work, do you have life insurance?
Yeah.
And they're looking like, yeah.
Are you planning on killing me?
I know. No. At the top of the stairs, she's like, do you have life insurance?
Stav doesn't. Not worth it. I said to Kat, don't worry about it. No,
do you
not
have it?
Nah.
Right.
It's a gambling. I don't like gambling.
I can't stand it. I hate it. I just think it's such a negative thing. You know, I don't like talking about the death. La, 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 la. But then we were trying to sort out our home loans and realising that we're kind of in a little bit too much debt because we want to get something to flip. This is our new career, right? And because of that, they're like, and life insurance, have you thought about that? And I was like, nah, I don't want it. Do I need it? And they're like, you really should. And then I was reading Barefoot Investor, who says that you should get it.
Right.
So I started to investigate again, and I always put the feelers out for it, but then I get overwhelmed. Because the questions they ask you...
It's full on.
It's an hour of just, do you have all these medical stuff? And I know that, and my dad always told me, you need to tell them the truth, him knowing me, because he goes, if anything does happen, it's void.
Yeah, they'll find out and they won't pay it.
They'll find a reason not to pay it. Yep. So they're asking you questions, and I had to be honest, because they even asked if I had any, like, had a description of it, and I had Ross River fever.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, I've had that, but it's not an issue. They're like, mm-hmm. So, but I don't have it. And you're just like, oh.
Beaver fever? Did you have to put that
no,
down?
No, I didn't, mate.
Well, you had beaver fever, so you should have put that down.
No, I didn't
down.
Think I did. That was just a parasite I had.
But you did have it. So you should have put that down.
You've got life insurance. And here's the other thing that I've been asking people. I've underinsured myself because they said, how much do you want? And I thought, well, I'm being very greedy here. So I thought it was a bit like a, I don't know, Wheel of Fortune. I was like, 1 billion?
$1 billion?
Like, I said, $1 million.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, my God. Like, $1 million?
That won't get you anywhere.
What? That's so much money. But then I found out Adrian was like, well, minimum would be 1.2, 1.5.
Yeah.
Right. So
I've had it since I was 24. I had life insurance.
That would have been low back then.
Yeah.
Keeps going up?
Well, yeah, it does. The older you get, the more it costs.
How's this, Dav? Males are double to insure.
Are we? It's because we're stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's annoying. You've got to pay extra for your car insurance when you're under 21, and then when you get, you know, for life insurance, they'd sting you there.
You've got more issues, apparently.
We've struggled so hard and so long.
Oh, haven't you heard?
Finally, someone said it out loud. No, I had it because, obviously, when Esther and I met, she had a son, and then we got married quite young, and then we had to work that out. But Esther, if I was to die today, Esther's going to have a wonderful financial life.
But why so high? Like, what is it?
Because it will pay off our mortgage. Mm-hmm. And this is literally what they said. So we sit down, the guy goes, okay, so this is going to be weird, but Esther, if he dies, how much money do you want?
Well, me and my new boyfriend just sort of feel like we don't want to live in debt. We just want to have enough money just for...
Like yeah. Moet would probably be our standard drink. So I don't know. Like, what would you say? 5 mil?
So then they go.
Sorry if I did Esther's
voice. Would you keep the house you're in or would you want to get another house?
My boyfriend, we need room.
Too many memories. Too many memories in this house. That's right. Too many memories.
And then they say, how often would you want to upgrade your car? Do you want the kids to go into.
Sure, boarding school. Because me and my boyfriend, we are traveling. Yes.
How would you want to work? They say.
No, I'm grieving.
There you go.
For life?
Yeah, for life with my new boyfriend.
And that's what they do. They work out.
And my friend Abby, she needs a little bit of cash.
Yeah, see? And then the other thing is they're like, okay, this is the hard one.
Mm.
If Matt was to be in a horrific accident.
Oh, see, I don't like talking about this. I feel uncomfortable.
I would not be able to provide. So what they do is they go, how much money would you have earned over your lifetime or into the future that you would need?
You work in radio.
Well, they don't need to know that, the potential of it. So.
See, it's really hard. And then you give like the form to the doctor to be able to give all your records over.
Oh, right.
And that just feels weird as well because I was like, well, I go at a drop of a hat. Does that mean I'm a hypochondriac? Mm. And they're like,
They probably insure a hypochondriac more because they're very rarely actually sick.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Do you know, it's all these questions that I just get overwhelmed and then I sort of forget about it.
I'm done.
So I'm done.
Because you're the breadwinner in your family at this current stage.
Scotty's doing okay, but he's a builder, so they...
That's right.
Yeah.
So he's got a different type of insurance. But no, I would love to talk to Scotty about if you died, how much money he wants.
He would say, finally...
Me, I'm your girlfriend.
No, you know what he honestly would go? Finally, I can live the life I want. I'll have a swag. No residence to go back to. I'll be living the life. You're right, he doesn't.
Yeah. Don't get it. Don't waste your money. You don't need it.
Stab Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Stab Abby and Matt.
Find out who you really are.
Honesty test.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah?
We're doing North versus South with Turf War Trivia. So we're going to find out what side of the river will reign supreme. And we thought at the same time, why don't we see North versus South, what side of the river is the most honest?
Yes. And if South fails, I'm just going to say, well, it's because they need the most money.
I think we're so you're allowed struggling. To steal if you're poor?
No, but they probably reinvested or gave it away to charity.
Uh-huh.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
This was nerve-wracking.
We took 4 wallets. We made them look as though they belonged to someone, put some old receipts in there. We put $20 in there. We then got fake business cards made up and put a wad into them and said that the person's name on it was Will.
Mm-hmm.
They were a sports physiotherapist.
Of course they were.
Because if you looked into a wallet and there was more than one business card, you would assume that that is the person's wallet and they hand them out.
You would assume, right? But when I got mine to drop off, I said to Siobhan, there's only all these business cards in it. Like, do you want to put a number in there so they can call? And she's like, that's supposed to look like your business
card. That's the plan.
So,
well, if you wrote a sign found, please call, that would be sus.
I know, but I didn't know if you just put a random number, people would.
So it didn't look like a kid's wallet. It was a black leather wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And on the business cards that we put in there, we left a phone number. So if anyone was to find this wallet... And they were
honest
enough. They could call this number and leave a message. 4 wallets. North Lakes Westfield was one drop off. Boondall train station.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
I went to the streets of the Gabba near a few of the shopping complexes there. I walked around for a long time because I was too nervous to drop it.
Really?
Yeah. I felt like I was doing something illegal.
Mm. I felt like planting a bomb.
Yeah. Oh, I felt like someone was going to run and say, you dropped this. And I'd be like, oh... I just felt nervous.
Mm.
Yeah, it was weird. And the Logan Hyperdome was the 4th location.
Mm.
2 in the north, 2 in the south. We received 1 voicemail message.
No. Oh, hi, Phil. I don't know you and you don't know me. I don't know, but have you lost something? If you have, can you give me a ring on 04? Thank you. Bye.
Oh, bless. Is that the only one, though?
The only one. And that was...
I walked past mine again.
To check it?
Oh, so you were casing the joint?
Yeah. I walked back 15 minutes later.
Was it still in the spot?
No.
Oh. Whoa.
That was 15 minutes.
Right.
So having said that, though, that could have been the person who's left the message.
Yeah. That's true.
Could be them. They've picked it up straight away.
Yeah.
You're not seeming confident, though.
I'm not seeming confident, no. I know this sounds stupid, but I was like, there was a bottle shop close by, and I was like, I was just so scared someone's going to go,
oh, well,
that's not worth giving back.
Grab a six-pack.
Yeah.
We did put money in them, too. We won't say the money amount.
You already did.
Did I?
Yeah, you said we put $20 in them.
Well, we will say the money amount.
We are not going to go into this detective business.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, I didn't know how much you put in there. You said you put $20 in each of them.
Well, I'm going to need to see the tape, Your Honour.
Yeah. So, there was $20 in them.
Righto, well, we're going to find out. So, we put four wallets out there to see what side of the river is the most honest. One was dropped off at Westfield North Lakes, the Boondall train station, just on the streets of Woolloongabba near a strip of shops, and the Logan Hyperdome. One person did call.
Oh, hi, Phil. I don't know you, and you don't know me. I don't know, but have you lost something? If you have, can you give me a ring on 04... Thank you, bye.
That wonderful woman, her name is Margaret, and she is on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for being part of our experiment. I believe you tried really hard to get this wallet back.
Well, I sort of did. I thought I'd go straight down to the police beat at the Hyperdome, but it was closed, but it was only 4:45, and they usually are apparently there until 5. But anyway, then I decided, well, perhaps I should open it and see if there's any ID so that I can, you know, ring whoever it is. Mm. So that's what I did.
And Margaret, sorry, where did you say you were again?
I was at the Hyperdome on the south side.
Yes! We are the most honest side of the river.
What a true and utter accurate experiment.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Can I ask exactly, because that's the one that I dropped off. It was a wonderful afternoon. I had Red Rooster in the food court.
Yeah, why did you take so many selfies of you eating takeaway?
Well, because when we were looking where we were going to drop it off, I got busted checking to see what food options were in the food court. So I was like, everyone would want to know. What was the placement of the wallet?
Well, it was down there. I work at the Salvos on a Monday, a volunteer, and I usually walk across. It was raining, so I usually pull a trolley out, a small trolley, down at the small bay there, you know, under where Sizzlers used to be.
Yeah.
I had to pull a few trolleys out because I like the little small one to put my bag in. And it was then that I found that I saw it. It was black, so it kind of stood out, you know.
Yeah, right. There
That's how
go.
People roll on the south side.
What's that?
Stuff. I mean, I know you wouldn't experience, but Margaret did hear she just does volunteer work.
That's exactly the place at which I left it. What was the contents inside of said wallet, Margaret?
Yes, when I opened it, it was there was an Opal card, and then I immediately thought he must be from Sydney. And because I know what they look like. And then there was lots of other little things, but the most surprising things kind of threw me a bit. But sure, anyway, there was two little packs of condoms.
Which we had to...
We wanted it to seem legit.
I was like, this seems legit. And he goes, yeah, we need them. So he went around and asked everyone here at work.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was a bit surprised. But anyway, do you know what I thought? I thought to myself, well, he's a good... person, he's thinking safe, so he must be not.
What about money wise? Was the money in there?
Yes, there was a $20 note, and there was a pickup truck thing, and then something to do with a phone. I couldn't understand that, but again, I was just looking for the name. But then that's when I came across the card, but there was about six cards, and I thought, well, he must be the fellow because he wouldn't carry six. You know,
that was the thinking, Margaret. Well done.
Well, that's why I thought I'll ring and just left the message.
Mm. You know what, Margaret? There's three people possibly listening to this going, ooh, I took the wallet.
Well, Margaret, you are amazing. You've proven that the South Side is the most honest. So as a little treat, you get to keep that 20 and all
Thank
the contents of the wallet is yours, Margaret. You can have that. And we know that there's a hog's breath out there at the Hyperdome. So we're going to give you a $100 voucher as well to go
Oh, you're joking. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Get yourself a nice lunch out there, okay?
I will. Can I just give a big plug to the Salvo's shop opposite the Bunnings there at the Hyperdome? It's a beautiful shop. Lots of lovely, beautiful things, okay?
There you go.
Nice.
Lovely, Margaret.
Thank you. Bloody Mother Teresa living right there on the south side, hey? How's that?
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Will it make them or will it break them? This is SAS Australia.
All right, now this one is a must get tickets for livenation.com.au because Mark Billy Billingham is coming. He's going to be here in Brisbane May 9th and you know his stories are going to be wild. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Nice to be invited, so thank you.
The story is going to be wild. Is there anything that's off limits, I guess, or do you talk about all the celebrities you've worked with and some of the hardcore missions that you've been on?
I'll be very honest with you. It's kind of it's a run from my life's journey, trials and tribulations, lessons learned, reaching goals that I probably never should. You're leaving school at 13, being in court at the age of 11, bad kid who did well, right up to being the bodyguards for Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Russell Crowe, all these sort of people. So I kind of do a complete spin over for about 40, 50 minutes, and then the Q&A is where people get to hear what they really want to hear, you know?
Now, you've obviously been in the military and serving country, and that's fantastic. You must be very moralistic and have a strong code of ethics. Is there anything, like, is there stuff you can't talk about because the celebrities won't let you talk about, or is it just that you wouldn't talk about it anyway because you're not going to make money off of the relationships that you've made?
No, my relationship in terms of working with celebrities and anybody else, you know, as a client or sort of someone I've looked after, I would never sort of talk about their personal life in detail or any of their security aspects. You know, I could tell stories that about me being with them, not sort of their lives, because, you know, that's wrong to do that. I'd never do that anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as the military. There's when I do my talk, I'm still held to the code of restriction of what I can talk about, and rightly so, because some stuff is still ongoing and it's put people's lives in jeopardy to talk about certain operational sort of methods that we use. So, but there's still enough stories and fun stories and good stories to talk about that have been out in the domain and that can be talked about. So under no circumstance would I sort of ever give anything away that shouldn't be given away.
You sort of become, you know, part of the family, though, don't you? Because you're looking after their children. Yeah. That's a lot of trust. I always wonder if whether with you guys, just say Brad and Angelina were having an argument about something, whether, you know, because you happen to be there, they go like, all right, well, what do you think, Billy? Who's right, me or her? What do you reckon? Like, do you ever get in those situations where you're like, I'm sorry, guys, I don't get paid for this?
No, I mean, I'll be honest, that sort of personal side of things, that's down to you as the bodyguard to have the common sense and the nous to not be in the room and not be in that space.
Right.
In a way out of it somehow. And I always did, you know, every couple have their issues and stuff, and I'd never get involved or be held accountable to any side, you know. I'd have my own opinions, of course, but I'd never share them with anybody.
See, I think the opposite. I reckon Billy would be like, from the kids, like, pick me up. Throw me around. Let me paint your toenails.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. You're like, oh, yeah. Dude, come on.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, being in the SAS and some of the things you've done must have been high risk, high stress, high pressure. But I know, and you, Maddie, the same. When I'm looking after my own kid, I'm like, please let nothing happen on my watch.
Yeah.
You know, because this is like the Pitts kids.
It's hard to look after kids.
It is absolutely that, you know, and you've got to always bear that in mind, that you've got to be very, very careful what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're performing, you know. Can't hurt them, and it's you're right, they're delicate pieces of material, people, you know.
Yeah.
that you've just got to be very, very careful. But being asked to do that, you know, it just made me feel so good that the fact that they trusted me to that level, you know, to do that, because you have got to have 100% trust in people, and it was great. It was, you know, I enjoyed all the clients that I worked with, and we had a great relationship. It was very professional. I always said exactly what I believed, and I was lucky not to have any sort of confrontation any time when it revolved anything involved security.
Have you ever had a celebrity ask you and you're like, dude, you don't need security? you're not at that security level yet, mate. You're okay.
I mean, you know, before I was a bodyguard for Sean Penn. I spent a lot of time with Sean Penn. I did some great stuff. But Sean never had security, and he didn't really need it. He was smart enough, and he's able to look after himself, and you know, he'd ask for advice now and again, but he didn't need, and a lot don't, if I'm honest. You know, I think when you've got kids and stuff, that's probably the people who really do need it. But as long as you're sensible about what you're doing and where you're going, if you are going to go into a vulnerable place, such as, you know, visiting refugees, a charity in Iraq or Afghan or something like that, then of course. The thing is, you know, some of the clients would look at me and go, well, I don't understand why I really need you, because nothing ever happens, and nothing really happens, it's because I'm doing my job right.
Has there been situations where you jumped a bit too soon? I'm not even talking about physically, but you've got to be on guard, like you said. Has there been situations where you've overreacted?
I'll say no, because, you know, I think what I did at the times I did, it was the right choice. Mm. And look back at it. It's funny you should ask that question, because I remember at one stage we were going to a red carpet do in Toronto. And obviously it's important that we all go to this party after us, this red carpet party. And I couldn't get in there because I had no security. It was just me. There was an overzealous crowd, overcrowding the vehicles. And I was like, shit, what am I going to do? And they're looking at me and I'm thinking, I've got to make a decision now and go for it. And I made them turn the car around, get out there quickly, and we didn't go to the party. Mm. And I was thinking, have I overreacted? Have I not? But then, you know, the caller, I didn't, because I knew there was no way on God's earth, had we have got stopped in that situation, in that crowd, there's nothing I could do. And people don't want to arm these people. They just get overzealous and crazy, and you know what it's like in a crowd, people start stampling and it gets out of control. And there was no way I was ever going to be able to control that. But I had to make that decision. I remember it in my head was the devil and the angel going, go for it. No, don't go for it. Go for it. Go. And I just went, right, stop, go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. You saved them a hangover.
They've missed one party, and I'm sure they've been to a lot of parties.
Well, no, we just diverted the party back to our place. So it worked.
Would have been better anyway. Would have been heaps better.
Nothing stops a party, guys.
There's going to be a whole lot of these stories and more, so you got to get involved with it. Your national tour, it's coming to Brizzy May the 9th. Tickets are at livenation.com.au. Mate, looking forward to that one and looking forward to you being back on SAS Australia. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for allowing me on there. And hopefully see some of you guys when I get out there.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
As another show draws to a close, Stav, Abby and Matt take a moment to reflect.
I had a wonderful afternoon yesterday because my parents arrived.
They did.
I did put a video up on Instagram and I keep even watching it myself just as her arriving, my mum. She knocked at the door. It was just so exciting driving all the way. But then all of a sudden, I saw the boxes that they kept bringing in that you guys encouraged them to bring up.
It's your stuff from when you lived at home. You still haven't collected.
Yes, and they just kept bringing in, like, I've got this big cardboard cutout of Audrey Hepburn. Mm. It's lovely. And Mum goes, but you loved it. You told us not to throw it out. And I went, yes, for your house. I love it in your house. I don't want to throw it out. But I don't want it in mine. So now what Mum's doing is she's getting all the stuff and going, you like this, boys? Do you want this? Well, let's keep it there. And now my house is starting to look the same way that I filled crap with their house with.
Why did you want to keep it, though?
I really love it. It's
pretty
cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Do you want it? I just don't want to throw it out. I can't throw her out.
It's probably worth something.
No, because if you comes to my house, I'm a rancid thrower outer.
I think that some of the things should come into our desks at work.
Audrey Hepburn looking out over the river.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful.
That's going to be a Nikki, the office manager, question, because she's a thrower-outer as well. She likes it clean. She's
tried to throw me out multiple times.
Yeah, you just keep coming
He's
back.
He's a boomerang, this one.
Thanks, but no thanks.
My son, Xander, he is a little bit sick at the moment. He's just got a cough, a dry cough.
No, like school though.
That's right. So he hasn't gone to school, and we thought, you know, it won't go. So we took him to the doctor yesterday, and of course that was going to be a COVID test, which is what you do. So I warned him about it. So you're gonna have to do a test. He's like, "Is it gonna hurt?" It's like, "No, man, I've had three. I'm still
and
alive."
I cried every time. I said to everyone, it was the worst thing I've ever had.
Well, I'd love to tell him that. But you'll be fine. Don't worry. All good. So we get there. The doctor's like, "We'll do a test." I said, just close your eyes, buddy. So we had to do it downstairs in the car because the doctor's, you know, laid up in the surgery. And I said, hold my hands. So, because I knew he would grab at her hand. And the minute that thing went up, his eyes banged open. You lied to me! It's like, well, I was going to tell you the truth. He goes, everything is a lie. I'm never believing you ever again.
That's the theory that we've gone with, Xander.
Yes, we're with you, buddy.
Thanks. Welcome to the club.
But no, thanks.
Jeez. We use our ribs a lot, don't we? You don't notice how much you use a part of your body until you hurt it. You know? Don't make me laugh. And I bruised my rib.
Doing what?
Pretty sure it's not broken. If it is, I'll just struggle through. It's all right, guys.
Doing what?
Playing touch football.
cleaned up a six-year-old. He's okay. He's all right. He bounced back. It was after a stunning intercept, though.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Wasn't it a stunning intercept?
It was epic, man.
It was the play of the game. It was.
I don't know if Nick did it himself for that one as well.
But laughing, coughing, sneezing. When I feel a sneeze coming on, it's like batting down the hatches. This is going to hurt.
Yeah, I reckon they're bruised.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
I could have punched you in the lung. I'm not sure, but I'm struggling.
All right, no worries. Do they do anything for broken?
Nah, you can't do anything.
I think only if they're bad enough that they might pierce your lung, but.
Yeah.
I'm just, mate, you're lucky. We are lucky that you're here today.
Just in general.
How's the kid, though?
No, I made sure I checked on him. He's fine.
What was his name?
Dennis? Ricky. Ricky the Ribber.
Noah.
No.
Anyway,
before I get into more trouble, thanks for doing that.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
All right, guys, you made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.